Escape from Cubicle 17, Episode 9, for Tuesday, April 7th, 2009. Well, after a far, far too long absence from the Podosphere, we are back. Rather than regale you with the details of why we were gone, we'll just go ahead and launch into Mel Tatum's interview with the amazing and talented Three Weird Sisters, recorded at FanCon 5.
Welcome to Escape from Cubicle 17. I'm your host for today, Mel. Normally you just hear me on Mel's Take doing a short segment, but the sound of distant feet running and a door slamming and mild screaming in the hallway is my husband Chris, your usual host, who remembers the part of the wedding vows that said in sickness and health, and even the part that said while tuning your bagpipes, but says he swears he missed the part about sitting through filk music. So I'm your host for today, and I'm Mel, as I said, of Mel's Take, and I'm going to take you into filk music today with my guest, Three Weird Sisters. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks,
we are recording this at FinCon 5, and Three Weird Sisters are the musical guest of honor. And FinCon is known for being a filk-heavy convention. So let me ask you if we could start by telling us a little bit about what filk music is.
Well, they deferred this question to me. I am the old filk fart, having been around in filk music for over two decades now. But music has been an important part of science fiction fandom since there was fandom, usually because there was somebody sitting in a hotel who got bored, and there was a piano nearby, and they would sing songs, and being intelligent, witty people would make up their own words to go to songs that they knew. And that's where it started, but that's not where it stayed. Over the years, it's evolved through all different styles of music, and now that we've gone into the electronic age, has moved into electronic music. Any instrument out there is fair game and often used. I was at one filk sing where someone brought in a didgeridoo and wanted to play didgeridoo through the entire filk, through to everything, lullabies, everything. It was a didgeridoo. It really was terrible.
It cleared the room, is what it did.
It did.
It did.
Filk was done for that evening.
We were running away from it. But now filk is really gained a life of its own with musicians who are actively creating their own music, not just taking someone else's tune and setting their words to it. They're actually creating their own full songs with a wide repertoire of styles and a huge number of instruments to go behind it, and it's its own genre now.
It really does seem to be its own genre, because I've only been involved in it for a couple of years, and just though, as you said, the wide variety of musical talents and skills and sounds, different combinations of instruments create different depths to the sound. Let me ask you to each introduce yourself for a moment and tell us a little bit about your musical background and what you play in the both in general and in the band.
Well, I'm Teresa Gibson Powell, and I got dragged into this about 10, 11 years ago by Brenda Sutton, and I had no idea what filk was when I got started, but I've been playing music since I was a kid, and what I play with Three Weird Sisters is primarily bass and a little guitar.
Vibra slap,
yes, the queen of the vibra slap.
Mary?
Well, I have a doctorate in music, but I always seemed to want to go do the subversive thing. So when I was supposed to be practicing classical music, I was practicing jazz. And I also play Dungeons and Dragons. That's how my husband and I met, is he's a dungeon master, and I was the note taker. And I started writing some songs about his games, and I had a couple of friends I gamed with that were like, oh my God, this is filk music. Now, the first time I heard filk music, I kind of had a reaction similar to the one that you're describing Chris having a little bit, but it was just kind of an unfortunate session that is best forgotten. I'm not even going to say where I heard it.
Because it could have been anywhere, probably.
It could have been anywhere, but actually, I mean, the thing is, what happened then is my two friends, John Brewer and Karen Murphy, took me to Gefilk, which I believe you and Bill started, almost 11 years ago?
Yep, gone up on the 11th year.
And, I mean, there was all kinds of stuff. There was rock filk, there was what I play, which is mostly jazz, and folk, and there were, of course, Three Weird Sisters, because back then it was Teresa, Brenda, and Gwen. I just fell in love. Definitely fell in love with the three of y'all. I mean, very much. And so?
I'm Brenda Sutton, and I've been singing since, my mom said I was singing when I came out the womb. But writing my own songs since I was a little kid as well, and all through high school, I wrote all the class musicals and did all those sorts of things, and then got married and had five kids and didn't do much music. And then I found science fiction fandom. I'd been reading it since I was in high school, but didn't really know that there was anything like fandom. My first convention was LA Worldcon, and didn't want to go home. I was walking down the hall at 2 in the morning saying, I don't want to go home, and I heard this music coming down the hall and stumbled into a Filk Sing, and it was an amazing concert that had been set up there that had just the cream of the crop, Joey Shoji and Julia Eklar and Cindy McQuillan and Leslie Fish, and I got the last seat in the room and sat and listened to that and thought, I could do this. Not as good as they could, but I could do this. And it's been a love in my life. And then my husband and I met at a Filk Con. We'd been talking to each other on the internet for 6 months and didn't know that we were interested in this music. And then we both showed up at Bay Filk. And we've been passionately involved with each other in music ever since. So we started a small convention, a Filk Con. They're about, I think, 9 to maybe 11 Filk conventions that are just devoted to Filk and Filkers around the world. And we started a small one in Atlanta, Georgia, called GUFILK, Georgia Filkers Association. And now we're in Indianapolis.
And Mary, you do the songbook now for GUFILK, right?
That's right. And some of your songs are in it, Mel.
I was so geeked when it showed up in the mail. I'm like, oh, look, I have published songs.
You're published. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad.
Go ahead. It's been a fascinating, the last 18 months sort of being part of this world have been fascinating because, as you said, the level of musical talent can be extremely high.
Extremely low.
And I was going to say, extremely low. But a lot of times, even when the musical talent is below average, the interesting part of it is the intelligence of the lyrics.
Yes.
And the cleverness of the lyrics. And a lot of times that gets you to hear past the mediocre voice, which includes mine by a long stretch of the imagination. I'm in the below average voice category, but I love writing the lyrics, and so I love listening to the lyrics and just the cleverness of them.
And the people who attend these conventions listen. They really do listen. Mm-hmm. Folks like Carla
Ulbrich,
who came to one of the GUFILKs. She was a professional musician. She was out gigging around, and she came here accidentally because somebody told her it would be a great place to play. And there was this audience who were raptly involved in what she was going to say next. And she just didn't get that in coffee houses and the joints that she'd been playing in, because they really want to hear what you're singing about. There was this guy named Gary Anderson who died a few years ago, and Gary had this voice that was like way down in the cellar, and he could sing maybe two notes, but he wrote great songs, and I would sit and listen to Gary all night long, even though he couldn't carry a tune with both hands in a bucket. It was great.
Well, and there's actually a fourth weird sister, as you mentioned, Gwen, who lives in London, correct? So the three of you each live in a different state, and then between the three of you and Gwen, you are in two different countries. So how do you have a band?
And how do you practice? Give up?
Tenacity.
Mightiness of the internet.
And Three Weird Sisters is recording your third album, correct?
That's one of the reasons why we're still a band, is that we love being in the studio together. Mm-hmm. And we've got an amazing producer who named Greg Robert, who engineers our CDs for us. He used to be keyboard and vocalist with the band Kansas. And we just have so much fun being in the studio that even though we're far apart from each other, we can independently go into studios, record, and then Greg takes it and works his magic on it, and it sounds great. And he can do the same thing with what Gwen does in England. So
you can listen to the scratch track of a CD and fix your or fit your harmony part or your accompaniment part in with it, and either go in the studio directly, or Gwen is actually going to record it in England, have it sent to Greg, and then he's going to integrate them together. And
so what is progress on the third album? When can we expect it?
We are so close.
It's more like a tax of life for the only reason it's not really done. Yeah. There's just been a lot of stuff. I mean, it's not like we're going
The album name should be Technical Difficulties.
That one was already taken.
Yeah. But it's a combination of things that have kind of slowed it down. One being that in January of this year, my upright bass got dropped in the parking lot by the hotel staff, and they broke the pickup on my bridge. And I'm just now, finally, the repairs are getting finished, and I may have a working instrument by OVFF, but... You know, other things, lightning strike on Greg's studio.
Me moving to Indiana.
Yeah, you moving. Mm-hmm. Busy, you know, we all have day jobs, we all have families, we all have obligations. And
so a month or two will slip by, and then all of a sudden one of us will go in the studio. And within 3 days, I mean, like huge swaths of music have been laid down.
We're probably 85% finished. It's not going to be much more time. It's just... getting it all to come together.
10% would be Gwen getting her stuff over here,
yeah, and then 5% would be the last rest. Little bit of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have to sort of share an anecdote. There seems to be something about upright basses and traveling. We hosted Grotta, an Irish band. The lead flute player, or the flute player for Grotta, was actually the lead flute player on the Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh.
And we hosted them for some music workshops when they came through Tulsa, and they have an upright bass as part of their group, and Andy was playing a borrowed bass because his had been a little travel worn and destroyed in travel. And then they had actually had 5 days off before their concert in Tulsa, and they had taken a lot of it off. They played the primary instruments, but they hadn't had the backup instruments out of the case. So they were sound checking at the Performing Arts Center, and I get this phone call in my cell. Melissa, do you know anywhere we can get an acoustic guitar with a pickup in the next hour? Because ours is smashed.
Oh.
They had opened it in the case. Oh. And it was poor Andy, whose upright bass was already borrowed.
Oh, no.
They have no secondary guitar, so we scrambled among some of the musicians in town. And one of the music stores got us an acoustic guitar that they could use. But it was... I sometimes wonder why people choose instruments that... Now, in light of the airlines especially, it's just so hard to travel.
It's becoming impossible.
It
because
is.
If I had to fly with it to this convention, it would have been about $500 just...
Round trip.
Just for the bass.
My keyboard would have been,
count.
Too. I was going to say, mm-hmm. Mary's on a borrowed keyboard.
Well, the instrument I travel with is an upright electric bass. And it fits into a keyboard case, and it used to be practical to take it. I flew to Scotland with it.
Mm-hmm.
They did, but back then they weren't charging that kind of money. Now it's really becoming prohibitive. And
2006 in Boston, summer of 2006 is the last time I've flown with my keyboard.
There are times when I think I should have, picked the piccolo. Mm.
I do have to say, when I showed up for a session at the Kansas City Irish Fest last month, I showed up with a backpack. And kind of over my shoulder, and there was a guy dragging. He had one mandolin case over his back and a Bowron case on his shoulder, and someone came along with an accordion case. And I'm like, is this where the session is? And they looked at me and they went, you play the damn flute, don't you?
Well, Gwen had the same problem with her harp.
Yeah.
Because she had full-size harps.
It's a harp and it's wire strung.
Yeah, wire strung, and they're really heavy.
They're delicate, too.
Yeah, and it takes nothing to throw that sucker out of tune. And
yeah.
You've got, 50 strings to
string it. If it just, falls over and tips against them, half the strings break.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
So, it's it's...
It can be a frustrating experience, I imagine.
Yeah, we played Renaissance Festival in Atlanta, and they always had us at the bottom of the hill, and then we had to cart everything up to the top of the hill.
Well, and that was when I was carrying around a three-quarter size acoustic upright, huge.
And we learned that chivalry was dead.
Yeah, we had to cart our own stuff.
Well, would you give us a song?
Sure, absolutely. In light of all the difficulties that we've had with instruments and such, this song is... very aptly chosen, I guess.
It also helps we didn't have to carve a keyboard in here to do this song.
Okay, it's called Pity Party.
I could have been a contender if life hadn't dealt me dirt.
I would have been a giant among men if my genes hadn't made me a female squirt.
I might have built me a dynasty. Taxes weren't so high.
I coulda, woulda, shoulda, but I didn't, so no one will care when I die. Sigh. Walla, 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 boo hoo hoo, pout, cry, sniff. Walla, 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 boo hoo hoo, pout, cry, sniff.
I would have made the Olympic team if I'd only learned how to skate.
I should have married Sean Connery, but I was born 2 decades too late, and I hate haggis.
If Sally Fields can win an Oscar, I know I could have done it too.
If I hadn't done the things I did with my life, there's no telling what I could do. Walla, 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 boo-hoo-hoo, bad cry sniff. Walla, 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 boo-hoo-hoo, bad cry sniff. It's not my fault I turned out like this. You mustn't criticize. But Saturn's been retrograde since my birth, and the sun's been in my eyes.
I would have made a great dancer, but I was born with 2 left feet.
You mustn't mind my bad temper, but I'm PMS and I eat too much red meat.
In spite of all my shortcomings, I think I'm doing fine.
I've accomplished an awful lot in my life for someone who's out of her mind. Walla, 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 boo-hoo-hoo, bad cry sniff. Walla, 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 boo-hoo-hoo, bad cry sniff.
And that's 3 Weird Sisters. I encourage you to go to their website and check out their MySpace site if you want to listen to some of their other tracks and get one of their or both of their 2 albums that are out. And Dr. Mary Crowell has a solo album as well, while we anticipate the release of the 3rd album, which is called...
3rd Time's a Charm. Website is www.3wordsisters.com.
That's 3 spelled out.
T-H-R-E-E-W-E-I-R-E.
D.
D-I-R-D.
Okay. Yeah, in the MySpace. MySpace
I can spell potatoes.
www.myspace.com/official3weirdsisters.
Yes.
It's a mouthful.
Well, thanks to the 3 Weird Sisters.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Mel, and thanks for taking this trip into Filk Music with us. And next time, your regular host, Chris, will be back. Thank you.